Part 4. Manifest Destiny. Chapter 86. St. Julian Perlmutter had just settled into an oversized leather armchair when the phone rang. His favorite reading post was custom-built, as it had to be to accommodate his nearly 400-pound frame. He glanced at a nearby grandfather clock, noting it was nearly midnight. Reaching past a tall glass of port parked on a side table, he answered the phone. "Julian, how are you?" came a familiar voice over the line. "Well, if it isn't the savior of Constantinople," Perlmutter replied in a booming voice. "I've read with glee about your exploits in the Golden Horn, Turk. I hope you weren't injured in the affair."
"No, I'm fine," Pitt replied. "And by the way, they call it Istanbul these days."
"Bilgewater, it was Constantinople for 1600 years. Ridiculous to change it now." Pitt had to laugh at his old friend, who spent most of his waking hours living in the past. "I hope I didn't catch you in bed," he asked.
"No, not at all. I was just sitting down with a copy of Captain Cook's papers from his first voyage to the Pacific."
"One of these days, we'll have to go find what's left of the Endeavor," Pitt said.
"Aye, a noble mission that would be," Perlmutter replied.
"So where are you, Dirk, and why the late call?"
"We just docked at Limassol, Cyprus, and I have a mystery I could use your help with."
The large bearded man's eyes twinkled at hearing the words. As one of the world's foremost marine historians, Perlmutter had a hunger for nautical enigmas that exceeded his appetite for food and drink. Having associated with Pitt for years, he knew that when his friend called, he usually had something beguiling.
"Pray tell," Perlmutter said in his deep bassoon voice.
Pitt proceeded to tell him about the Ottoman wreck and its Roman-era artifacts. Then he sprang the story of the manifest and its list of contents.
"My word, that's an epic cargo," Perlmutter said. "A pity that little, if any of it, would survive after 2 millennia under the sea."
"Yes, the ossuary might be the best that could be hoped for."
"You would surely stir a hornet's nest with that," Perlmutter said.
"If any of it still exists, it deserves to be found," Pitt replied.
"Absolutely. Even without the cargo, an intact Roman galley would be a gem to discover. Do you have a starting point to conduct the search?"
"The purpose of my call," Pitt said. "I'm hoping that you might know of some unidentified ancient wrecks off the southern Cyprus coast. Any data on the historic trade routes around the island would probably be helpful, too."
Perlmutter thought for a moment.
"I have a few resources on the shelf that might be of assistance. Give me a couple of hours and I'll see what I can do."
"Thanks, Julian."
"Say, Dirk," Perlmutter added before hanging up, "were you aware that Cyprus was known to produce the best wines in the Roman Empire?"
"You don't say. A glass of Commandaria, I've heard, tastes as it did 2,000 years ago."
"I'll be sure and find you a bottle, Julian."
"You're a good man, Dirk. So long."
Hanging up the phone, Perlmutter took a long sip of his port wine, savoring its deep, sweet flavor. Then, propelling his huge frame to his feet, he stepped to a ceiling-high shelf overflowing with nautical books and began humming to himself as he rifled through the titles.
It was less than 2 hours later when the satellite phone on the Aegean Explorer rang with a return call from Perlmutter.
"Dirk, I've found just a morsel so far, but it might be a start," the historian said.
"Every little bit helps," Pitt replied. "It's a shipwreck from the 4th century. It was discovered by sport divers back in the 1960s.
"Roman?"
"I'm not sure. The archaeological report I have is quite dated, but it indicates that some Roman weaponry were among the artifacts recovered. As you know, Cyprus was never deemed of much military importance to the Romans, but rather as a trading source for copper and grain.
And, of course, wine. So the existence of weapons on this wreck might be of significance."
"Long shot or not, it sounds worth a look. Where is the wreck located?"
"She was found off of a town called Pizuri, which is near you on the southern coast. The wreck was located about a quarter mile off the public beach there.
I found a later reference that the site was partially excavated in the 90s, however, and the artifacts put on display at the Limassol District Archaeological Museum.
That's convenient, Pitt said. Does the location hold up to the Roman trading routes?
Actually, the merchant ships of the day sailing from Judea would have typically followed along the Levant coast en route to Constantinople. Same goes for the Roman galleys, which would generally hug the coastline to stay in calmer waters. But our knowledge of maritime practices in those days is limited.
It may well be that they never intended to sail to Cyprus, Pitt replied.
Thanks, Julian. We'll look into the wreck. I'll keep nosing about for more. In the meantime, happy hunting.
As Pitt hung up the phone, his two children stepped onto the bridge with small travel bags slung over their shoulders.
Jumping ship before we start our survey? Pitt asked.
You've got a starting point? Summer asked.
The good Mr. Perlmutter just helped me lay out a search grid.
I talked Dirk into helping me attack the local archives, she replied. I thought I'd see if we could find some local references to the manifest, or perhaps a history of local piracy. You don't mind if we catch up with you in a day or two?
No, that sounds like a good idea. Where's your first stop?
Summer gave her father a blank look. To be honest, we haven't identified the local resources to visit. You wouldn't have any suggestions, would you?
Pitt couldn't help but grin at the request while he glanced at a page of notes he had written while talking to Perlmutter.
It just so happens, he said with a wink, that I know exactly where you should go.